Hymn number 571, Trust and Obey. Ephesians 5:8, good verse, says, "Now you are the light of the Lord." You are the light of the Lord. And counsels us to live as children of light. Let's stand as we sing. Walk with the Lord and the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. Verse 2. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet. I will walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. Just turn back a few pages to 564. Our song will be Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. We'll sing all three verses.
Keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of hell and snare, if I falter, Lord, who can? Who with me my burden bear? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be. My feeble life is on.
thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just across the walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Chad.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house and worship you. Father, we give you the glory and the honor. We pray that you inhabit our praise and it be joyful to your ears as we open our hearts and our minds, that we may set aside this time, that we put away our thoughts, we put away our distractions, and we focus on you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. It's a pleasure to be in God's house with you today, and we give Him the glory and the honor for that. Today is the last guest that I'm going to have on stage with me in this series. It's been a blessing to me. I hope it has been to you. I think I saved the best for last. Next week I'll be preaching the conclusion to this message, so it'll just be me on the stage. But also next Sunday is our quarterly business conference, and you won't want to miss that, so make sure you show up. They're riveting, so you got to be here for that. But it's a pleasure to see you in God's house today, and let's worship Him together.
Amen. We continue our worship service this morning. Hymn number 566, I am resolved. Philippians 3:14 tells us, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Let's stand as we sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, learning my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
Thank you. You may be seated. Move back to 549. The hymn is Higher Ground. Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. We'll sing all verses 1, 2, and 3.
Upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, to
still breaking as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Lay me through heaven's tableland at higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My Father in heaven's tableland, a lighter plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. This morning we have a person that has volunteered to sing us a song, right? Miss Jamie, you want to come on up? Jamie Lawler is going to sing a couple songs for us. All right, what a blessing that will be.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments polished, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I fly away, I fly away, oh glory, I fly away. When I die, I'm looted by the by, I fly away.
Just a few more days to be, and I fly away to a land where joy shall never be, and I fly away. I fly away, oh glory, I fly away. When I die, I'll lose a part of my I fly.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you for our talents, that we can use them to your good and your glory. And Father, we thank you for loving us enough to die for us, and for conquering our battles before we even have to start. Father, we thank you that through you, we can be more than conquerors, and that you have fought every battle that we will ever face, and we are victorious through you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Are you nervous?
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, this is my partner for more than 30 years, and she's the brains and I'm the mouth. So usually in a setting like this, she would be on the back row and I would be on the front row. But I know, so why don't you tell them, when'd you get saved?
So I grew up in a Christian home. Many of you have met my parents. They were here with us a few weeks ago. And we were at church every Sunday, every Wednesday for the most part. So I grew up in church. And at the age of 9, we were at Vacation Bible School, and everybody was coming down to the front of the church. So I followed along and proclaimed to accept Christ that day and got baptized. However, nothing really changed in my life. We continued to go to church, you know. And I don't really have a dramatic life story to tell. I wasn't into a bunch of mischief. I'm a rule follower. People that work with me know I'm a rule follower. I follow the rules, so for the most part. But my junior high years were definitely probably my worst years. I did have a mouth on me for some part. And we fast forward about 5 years after that Vacation Bible School, and I was at church in revival at my home church, and I really felt God calling me to surrender to Him. And so for me, I was like, no way, God, am I going to step out of this pew in front of all these people that I have professed to be a Christian to for all these years? I'm not doing that. I mean, to me, that was just an embarrassing thing to do that in front of a lot of people. So I was like, no, I'm not doing this. The next thing I know, I am down at the front of the church giving my life to Christ. It wasn't anything I did. The Holy Spirit pulled me out of that pew and took me down. And I knew then that I needed Jesus, you know. And at that point forward, I chose to walk with Him. And so every day I thank Him for letting me not say no that day, and letting me step out and make that choice and that change in my life, because I can't imagine how my life might be different today had I not done that.
And to tell you a little bit about our story, because it's important and significant in Misty's life, in terms of every person that sat up here with me up till this point, the battle has always been somewhat external, in terms of there were things that happened or things that came on you that you had to deal with. But that's only part of the battle. Most of our life takes place between our ears. And so there are battles that go on in your head that most people may not ever know. You could look completely normal and be battling unbelievable forces that people will never know. And that's important. It's important to know that God fought those battles too. And he made us more than conquerors through him for even those battles that go on between our ears. And in Misty's case, it's about finding significance, about finding who I am in Christ and how important we are. The first time I remember Misty, she was probably 10 or 11 years old. Misty has an older sister who's the same age as I am. We're 4 years older. And she was my best friend. Her name's Christy. And we were just friends. We were always just friends. But we were, through high school, we were inseparable. If you saw one of us, you saw the other one. And Christy was the star athlete of our high school. She was it. And so Christy and I graduate, and Misty comes to high school, and you're immediately known as
Christy's sister.
What was that like for you?
Well, there were a lot of expectations of how I would perform athletically, and I'm an athlete as well. Not my sister's status, but I'm an athlete. And so we're two different athletes, though. She's an offensive player. I'm a defensive player. And most people see offensive players more because they're the ones making the points. So there were challenges along the way in high school. And I just got to a point where I didn't want to be questioned anymore. Why aren't you doing this, or why aren't you doing this? You know, because that wasn't me, that was her. And so my last year of school, I didn't play basketball because I didn't want to anymore. I didn't want to be having to deal with those type of questions. And I had met this man here not too long, maybe 8 months after I became a Christian, and we started dating. And I had just decided that I was going to graduate school a year early. And so to do that, I needed to concentrate more academically versus on the athlete side. So I made those choices and put my concentrations elsewhere. But I was always kind of in her shadow. So, and she's my best friend to this day. So we have a really strong relationship. But definitely going through high school, everybody knew me because they knew her.
And then, by today's standard, you got married young.
Very young.
Your mother let this college guy ask you to marry him, and you said yes. And so you were 17 when we got married.
Yes.
And I was already surrendered to the ministry, and I was on staff at a church. And so when we got married and started our life together, you went from Christy's sister to Chad's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what was that like?
Well, at the time, I really didn't know what that was like. I mean, I was 17, working, going to school, being married, trying to figure out how to be married, because at 17, you don't know how to be married. I mean, at 30, you may not know how to be married. So it was definitely challenging. I didn't really know where I fit into the puzzle. I didn't even know I had a problem fitting into the puzzle at that point in my life. I was just doing things.
Yeah.
And I was there and would do the things that came up.
And for all of us, It's important to know that, like Psalms 139 says in verse 13, for you created my innermost beings. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your words are wonderful. I know that full well. Each of us was created uniquely by God for His glory. And so no matter when you find yourself in somebody's shadow, or letting the devil tell you you're not as important as somebody else, the Scripture says something completely different. And we live in a society that loves to compare. We've been brought up in a society that we compare everything. How does this fit to that? You're not as good as this. Your house is not as big. Your car is not as nice. And so there's all these comparisons. But God doesn't do that. God looks at us uniquely. And for you, and for all of us, especially in God's eyes, it's important to find who you are and what He wants you to do and why you're here.
So three years after we got married, we moved here to Texas for you to go to seminary for 3 years.
3 years. She said you got 3 years.
That was in 1993. And for some reason, I'm still here in Texas. That's just where God wants us to be, clearly. But Chad went to school, I went to work, and we ended up on staff at a church. He did. And when you were on staff at a church, I say this even though we are on staff at a church, so people tend to scrutinize you. So you find that it is in your best interest to keep yourself to yourself, because if someone finds out about you that you have problems just like they do, it's a much bigger deal. And so things weren't great for us during that time. And I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on within me. And I really didn't know that I had a problem still at that time. And we made the choice to go to counseling. And during that time, I mean, I remember waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning one morning, and Jody, I woke him up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I guess the phone was on his side of the bed. But I called a friend to say, okay, I'm at the end and I know that I need some help. And I needed to do that then because I did not want to back out. So I needed to be held accountable at that time that I knew I needed to get some help. And so it was during that time that I went and had counseling and really started to find out who I truly was. That I wasn't Christy's sister or Chad's wife, or, you know, I went from my parents' house to living with Chad after we got married. So I was lost. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who I was. And so through some counseling along the way, I realized that I am a person myself, and there were choices that I had to make, and felt that it was okay to make, because before I would just defer everything. Mm-hmm. And so at that point is when I really became my own person and understood who I was.
Which is important, because some people go through their whole life and they don't ever really understand who they are. And knowing that we all are just messed up. You haven't met a perfect person. There's never been a perfect marriage. And the more you try to create this image that everything is perfect, it's like that act, the magician that tries to keep all the plates spinning on the end of a stick, And you can't. You just can't. There's not enough emotional energy to be able to be everything that everybody wants you to be all the time. And I think one of the things that you discovered on your journey that is so important for all of us is the only thing that matters is God.
Right.
And when I get to a place where I'm focused on pleasing Him, everything else takes care of itself. But I can't be everything to everybody. Just like you couldn't be everything to everybody. So, as you came to a place of finding who you are, what do you say to other people today about what you found in that search?
So one thing that has stuck in my mind for many years is Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of you probably know this verse, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I think sometimes when you are not sure of where you need to be in life and you have anxiety and you're trying to be everything to everyone, that we get caught up in the world and not what God's plan is for us. And so I began to say, to just stop and say, "God, what do you want?" I became totally dependent on Him and what His desire was for my life at that point. Not what I wanted, but what He wanted. And also to just tell myself, you can't do everything. I will help you do anything you need to do. That's me. I am always there. I like to be behind the scenes because that's just where I'm the most comfortable. But if you need a hand, I'm going to be there. But I had to realize that I can't do everything. I can't be everything to everybody. And it doesn't really matter what you do. You will never please everyone. It's not possible. There will always be someone that's not happy with the things that you do. And so my focus at that point was to just please God and to try and follow Him.
Which is so incredibly important, because I've said this at my secular job. I have about 25 people that work for me. And every day I walk in that building, somebody's mad at me about something. Every day. It's just like walking in here with 60 people. Somebody's mad at me every time I walk in here. You know? But, okay. Because I can't be everything to everybody. And the only thing that matters is, did I do what God wanted me to do? Because He's going to take care of everything else. And so our focus has to be on what does He want and what's His plan. And part of one of the things that was a struggle for you as much as anything, because you are a rule follower, and we're polar opposites on that. So
it's true.
But you like to please people, and so one of your struggles was fear of failure.
Yes.
Which is a struggle for a lot of people. In fact, probably all of us, to some degree, struggle with failing. And how do you handle that?
That's a good question, because it's something I still struggle with to this day, is fear of failure. So I didn't have to deal with that for a long time because things just seemed to be easy in life. Going to school, that was easy. Marriage, well, I didn't know what it was supposed to be like, so it wasn't easy in the beginning. So there were a lot of things that seemed to be easy, but as I got older and changed careers and had to step out of my little box, it really became evident to me that, you know, I'm scared of failing, and so that oftentimes affects my decisions.
Which is, it's not entirely a bad thing to be, to have a fear of failing, because it can be motivation. But what's incredibly comforting for us is that when you're staring at failure and Satan is trying to talk in your ear and tell you what a failure you are, there's a Savior with open arms who knows your every failure and yet covers you with grace and wraps you in His arms and says, I can take care of everything that you cannot handle and even the things that you think you can handle. So on your search for significance and the struggles that we all encounter, what you found was how much God loves you.
Yes, and I really just started to focus on that to try and not focus on the fear so much. If you know, I think about Michael Jordan, who everybody in this room knows who Michael Jordan is. And if you look at numbers, there were times that he failed over and over and over. But he kept going over and over and over until he became this great, you know, basketball player that will live forever in everyone's minds.
He wasn't even a starter in high school.
Right, yeah. He was on the bench. And so I feel like I just have to continue trusting in God to get me through every situation that I come to. And for me, one of the things that God has really placed on my heart is there are a lot of people that struggle with anxiety and fear and depression, and it's okay. And a lot of people feel the stigma of, you know, you don't go to counseling. That's the way I felt for years. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And my husband's a minister. There's no way we're going to counseling. I mean, what if somebody finds out? But those people go to school and are called to do what they do for a reason. And they can just, you know, I think it's, for me, God has just placed on my heart to really reach out to younger people that have that fear and are scared to get the help that they need to become successful.
The message that we have to get across in this room and in this church, because it's the one that we have control over, is that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. Because I believe one of Satan's greatest tools against Christians is isolation. Mm-hmm. Where if he can get us to believing that we are the only person that has ever had that thought, we're the only person that's ever had that struggle, we're the only person that's ever been like this, then all of a sudden you're completely isolated and you feel like there's no hope. But the whole idea of a church body is so that we can walk together, and when you're not okay, I can help you. Because maybe I've been down that road. I've stepped on those landmines. I've dealt with that. And so God wants us to be a family in order to be able to say to people, I've been there, and that's okay. It's okay that you're not okay. It's okay that you feel that. Because what Satan wants us to believe is that when we're Christians, we're perfect. And if you're not perfect, then you must not be a Christian.
And I'll say that we don't know each other's struggles for the most part because it is our nature to hide those struggles. And so in saying that, take the effort to reach out to those around you. Maybe it's just a smile or a hug, or maybe it's taking them to lunch that day. Because you don't know their needs, but just by being kind and reaching out, you may have an impact on that person, an impact that you will never know. But unless you take that step to reach out, cross the line, I know it might be uncomfortable for some of you, but take that step and, you know, reach out to those around you. Make everyone feel welcome and make those connections, because you may learn something about someone that you didn't know, and even without knowing it, you may do something that touches their lives forever.
My grandfather told me once, never forget that somebody around you is probably having the worst day of their life. And you don't even know it. And the words that you speak, the actions that you take, the smallest of things might change their life. And for so many years, Misty looked okay to everybody that looked at her. But to the few people who didn't, who knew the inside of her struggles, it's important to know people, it's okay not to be okay. And to say that. We were on a trip, or I was in Mexico with Jody and Tricia Kennedy. And I got a phone call. When we moved to Texas, we came out here with some friends of ours who moved out here with us, and he and I went to seminary together. And they moved back to South Carolina when they were finished. And I had lost track of them for a small period of time. But I got a call when I was in Mexico that this couple who were incredibly close to us, they had divorced. They had thrown in the towel, they had divorced, and it was over. And I'm going to tell you, that hit me like a baseball bat of how could that happen? And us not even know it. And I called Misty and I said, look, we have struggled in our relationship. If you've been married as long as we've been married, you've struggled. Y'all know that. And I said, we have to stop looking like we're okay all the time, and we've got to tell people it's okay not to be okay. And I called her and I said, we have to share our testimony.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow, in front of 400 people.
And we got up and told our story, and I cannot tell you what happened to our phones after that message. I mean, it just, there were more people than we could talk to calling us saying, thank you for saying that. Let me tell you about my marriage, because it's about to fall apart. And It was eye-opening that when we get vulnerable and we take down the facade of we're perfect, of how many people you can help, and how many people who are sitting in church every Sunday and they look okay and you think everything's okay and it's not. And how on earth can we allow that to happen? Because this is not a place for perfect people. This is a place for wounded warriors. This is a hospital for sinners. And if you can't get help here, where are you going to get help? Because the world cannot help you. This is where you get help.
Yeah, so for me, I stopped seeking the world for significance and turned my eyes to just really focus on what God wanted and allow Him to work through me and focus on His desire for my life and for our marriage and for our family. Because that became the most important thing to me, is to allow Him to guide me and not me. It seems like when I try to step in and take control, that's when things don't go the right way. And so I have to just stop and remind myself that, you know, if it's not His will, I don't want to be doing it. And that's what's the most important thing. So even though some people may say, well, I can't believe you're not doing this or you're doing this, but if that's not what God wants for me, then that's not what I want. I only want to do what He wants me to do. I want Him to guide me through my journey in life. And that's where I found true significance was in Him and just allowing Him to guide me and lead me.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that You created each one of us uniquely for Your pleasure. And it is in You that we find our value. It is in You that we find our significance. And Father, I pray for each one of us that our eyes be opened to how much You love us, that how much You have for us to accomplish. And Father, I pray that You take us from this room and use us to Your good and Your glory. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.